Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
I want to talk to you about an old law in Washington, D.C. that is making some people very, very rich by not using it the way in which it was intended. To educate us on that is Joyce Siegel, real estate attorney. Joyce Siegel, welcome and good morning.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're with us. So can you make us a little bit smarter about this? From what I understand, this law, and please tell me if I'm wrong here, this law is TOPA, which is the Tenant Opportunity to Purchase Act. It came about in 1980, and it was, as happens in many large cities, you have areas that gentrify, and what was affordable to some now becomes out of reach for them. So this was to prevent renters from being forced out of these gentrifying neighborhoods. Well, now people are learning how to use this law to their benefit. How does that happen?
That's absolutely correct. The unintended consequences are this is being applied to a wide range of the market, including luxury homes. Primarily in my practice, I am seeing it being applied to single family homes that are hot and are receiving multiple offers, and they may have an accessory unit, or they may currently be rented by the current owner. And the buyer that may not have offered the top price will do a workaround and go through the tenant, knowing that they sort of have a second swipe at the deal and negotiate it. And that's certainly not what was intended by this law.
I mean, basically, as I understand it, if you're a renter, you get the first right to negotiate with the owner of the property if they want to sell it. But beyond that, if you're the renter and you have no interest in buying it, you can still sell the right of first refusal to someone else for a pretty handsome fee.
Correct. And that's exactly what's being done. Usually, a tenant in an accessory dwelling doesn't have the wherewithal to purchase a luxury home or the whole home. You know, usually someone's not living in, you know, an accessory apartment because they can afford the primary residence. Mm-hmm. But you're correct. They are able to assign this right to sort of create a market demand and give them an opportunity to sell it. It's very rare in my experience where I've ever actually seen the tenant try to negotiate better terms, the right to stay, all the things that it was sort of intended to be. It's not. Rather, they look at it as a meal ticket to take advantage of, to hold up properties, to make a little extra cash, and kind of make the seller's life a little miserable.
Yeah, so what's going to happen is probably what you're going to hear right here, a D.C. landlord talking about this, and now that this is coming to light, more and more people are falling prey to this. Just hear this.
Had I known, I would never, ever, ever rent property in Washington, D.C.
See, and that's what I think the outcome of. Are you starting to see that now?
Well, I am. So that woman, I saw her interview actually. She never had an intention of being a D.C. landlord. If I recall, she decided to rent her property because she needed to move in and take care of her elderly parent. One of the cases I have presently is a woman who was living in the area and almost immediately after purchasing got a job transfer. So it's very difficult to sell a property that you just purchased. The transaction costs are so high. Usually without taking a loss or, you know, coming to the table with money, you need to rent it. So, and it's also often the most immediate solution. So this is impacting people that are not professional landlords. They may only own one property. It may be their primary residence with an accessory unit. It could have been a tenant they inherited. You know, these are folks that are not, you know, out there exploiting anyone. These are one-off. So this law is just way too broad. You know, the definition of who a landlord is it's everyone.
Why do you think that it hasn't been changed? I mean, realtors and real estate attorneys, I would imagine, are well organized. Certainly they have gone to the District of Columbia and said, we need to change this law. What happens when that occurs?
Well, you know, I can't speak on behalf of the district's association, although I'm a little familiar with their activities. And I do know that in recent years, this has really been, I would say, at a crisis level for about 5 years. You know, since the D.C. market has improved, TOPA has sort of become a bonfire. I would say 10 years ago, I just really can barely remember coming into contact with a TOPA scenario. Yet it existed, and so I guess we did, but very less frequently, very much more matter-of-factly or routinely. But with the, you know, explosion in the hot D.C. market, this has also become hot. So D.C. in the last several years has gone to the D.C. Council to say, please do something about this, you know, please do something about this. And from what I understand, there is a bill pending, but it's just sort of, you know, in the back nine. And no one is paying attention to it. So some of the more recent coverage as a result of some of the more inflammatory situations that just seem so completely unjust, I think is getting it the long overdue attention that it needs.
Yeah. Very quickly, just within 30 seconds here, do you see this changing?
I sure hope so.
Okay. Well, that was quick and to the point. So thank you for that. We do appreciate that.
Sure.
Joyce Siegel, we appreciate your information, spending some time with us. Thank you so much. That is Joyce Siegel, real estate attorney. She's also the president of Siegel and Associates General Counsel.